Wait a minute, if you take your Bibles this evening, we're going to continue on here in the book of Esther. Look at Esther chapter number 3. Esther chapter number 3. Last week we were looking at casting lots and how you find not only here Haman in Esther chapter 3 verse number 7. Haman casting lots to figure out what day he's going to execute his plan on attempting to try to destroy the Jewish people. But you also find that God's people, the Jews, also cast lots. So take your Bible, look at Esther chapter 3 this evening, Esther chapter 3, and we'll look here at verse number 7 tonight. The Bible says, in the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedath, the Agite, the Jews' enemy. The king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. Thank you again, dear God, for getting us here safely. Dear Lord, I do pray, dear Lord, for those that are still feeling sick. This evening, dear God, I pray for the Hellies, Lord, the Conklins, Chris Mitchell. Good to see Erica here, Lord. I thank you for that, dear God. And so, Lord, I pray you just help those that are feeling well still, dear God, and battling this thing. Lord, I pray you'd help them to get better quickly, dear God, according to your will. So, Lord, now, though, we do ask, Father, that you just lead, God, and direct as we look at your word this evening. Please give us something out of the book of Esther here, Lord, that would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, that we would just give you the glory, honor, and praise and everything that's said and done. So we ask for your help now. We pray it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we looked at last week a few things dealing with casting lots. If I'd like you to take your Bible, look at Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 11 verse 1. We find here in Nehemiah 11 that the Jews cast lots to figure out who would stay in Jerusalem and who would go out to the other cities there in Israel. So look here at Nehemiah chapter 11 and look at verse number 1. So we find here the casting of lots by the Jewish people. It says in Nehemiah 11 verse 1, and the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. So they came together here in Nehemiah chapter 11 verse 1 to figure out 1 in 10 people that would have to stay and live there in Jerusalem, and the other 9 would go and inhabit other cities within the nation of Israel. But they cast lots to try to determine who would do that. Take your Bible also and look over at Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, we find a very familiar verse, and it talks about how they would cast lots. The Roman soldiers would cast lots for Lord Jesus Christ's garment. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 22. And look at verse number 18. Psalm 22, verse 18. Prophecy here says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. So here we find David prophesying about the Messiah. When he would be killed, they would part his garments among them and that they would cast lots for his vesture. Look over at Matthew 27, verse 35. Matthew 27, verse number 35. Matthew 27 and verse number 35. Matthew 27, 35 says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. You know, when I'm reading through this here, we looked last week about how the Jews require a sign. And what did the Pharisees continue to get on Jesus about of, if you're really this Messiah, show us a sign. If you're really who you say you are, show us some works. Consistently. And yet if they were paying attention, which I think they were paying attention, and they knew their Bibles like they should have known their Bibles or the scriptures, they would have known that Psalm 22 was in the Bible or in the Old Testament. And as they're watching Jesus being crucified, and if they were paying attention, if they really had a desire to know who Jesus was, that right there would have been enough to say that that's the Messiah. That right there, that one prophecy fulfilled, would have gave them the answer they were looking for, but they weren't looking for the answer. They already knew the answer. They wanted the inheritance. They wanted the inheritance. And they thought, well, because they're other, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And they figured, well, if we can get rid of him, then the inheritance will be ours. Because I think they never thought in the back of their mind, nor the devil thought in the back of his mind, that this was what the Father had planned for the Son, that he would die for the sins of mankind, that the grave couldn't hold him, and he would get up the third day. But here, if you're paying attention, brethren, I believe this. I've said it before, and I believe it, that this book is like any other book there is on the whole planet. And if you want to know truth, God will reveal truth to you. If you're looking for it, I believe it. If your eyes are open, you say, and you got an honest and sincere heart, say, God, I want to know truth. What is truth? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, will get you that truth. Amen. Absolutely. Even when it comes to what I was talking about, even on Sunday, to where if you're in the middle of nowhere and you've been raised without knowing anything about God, all you've known is your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have served pagan gods, yet all of a sudden, something in your conscience and in your soul looks around and says, there's got to be something else. There's got to be a creator. There's got to be an entity out there that brought all this into existence. I believe God will get you truth. I believe God will get you truth if you're looking for truth. That's the question. Are people looking for truth? Okay? That's the question. That is the question. Because if you're looking for truth, you'll come to the light. But a lot of people won't come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. They don't want the light, because the light shows you you're filthy and that you're undone. People don't like that. Don't tell me I'm undone. Don't tell me I'm filthy. Don't tell me I need a Savior. No, that's all of what we are, and we do need a Savior. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 1. This is the last time in the Bible that the casting of lots is mentioned, and it deals with selecting the 12 apostles since Judas betrayed the Lord and went out and hanged himself. But look at Acts chapter 1 and look at verse number 21. This is the last time in the Bible you're going to find the term casting lots or lots. Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 21. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Now, you know what? Hang on a second here. Let me see something. Yeah, that's where I want to be. No, that's what, hang on. Look at verse number 20. I want to show you something here with this. Look at Acts. I want to go up one verse. Look at Acts 1 verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate and no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Okay, so they're choosing another apostle. Look what the Bible says in verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So I'm going to say this. Anybody that goes out there and says, I'm an apostle, you're a liar. Because this is a prerequisite to be an apostle. You had to be there from the very beginning and saw this thing all the way through to the end of seeing him get resurrected. Those are the prerequisites for being an apostle. Now, I haven't seen it up here much in the north. But you go on down south, and there's a lot of people who claim to be apostles. At least where I was in Charleston. Well, we used to have them come into the juvenile center all the time from different churches, and I'm apostle so-and-so, and even got women, I'm apostle so-and-so. No, if you're reading your Bible, this was the prerequisite to be an apostle. Okay, verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go in his that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So here, Peter seeks wisdom and guidance from God. They cast lots, and a lot falls upon Matthias. Now, like I said, that is the last time that we find in our Bibles the use of casting of lots to determine God's will. And up until you get to Acts chapter 10, so brethren, if you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even into Acts, all the way up basically to chapter 10, you're still doing particularly all with Jews. It's all Jewish. Very few times you see the Lord dealing with Gentiles in particular. And in Acts chapter 10, it starts taking a turn from Peter and his ministry to Paul and his ministry. But we know that the Jews seek a sign. The Jews need a sign. And so Peter here is looking for a sign from the Lord to figure out who to take the place of Judas. And they prayed, they cast forth their lots, and it fell out towards Matthias. Now, from this point forward, if you're saved and you're born again of God, you don't cast lots or you don't do anything along those lines to try to figure out God's will in your life. You don't do that. Now, I know some, you'll put testers out there and all that. Just walk with God, because it can deceive you, right? You can do something like Gideon and put a rug outside tonight and say, Lord, if it gets wet, that's your will. Pretty good chance it's going to get wet tonight. Do you see what I'm saying? Or let me cast some dice, and if 2 sixes come up or 2 fives come up, then I know it's not your will. No, we don't do those things no more. We walk with God and we trust the Lord. And I believe God will give us guidance and direction by the Holy Spirit and by spending time in His Word. We're not looking for signs. Take your Bible. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. Romans 8, 14. I'm looking at these things this evening because even though Haman was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, and he cast lots trying to figure out when he would destroy the Jews. We also find in the Bible that the Jewish people as well casted lots. But that's not where we're at today. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse number 14. Romans 8 verse 14. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Paul tells the church there at Rome, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you're saved tonight, you ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. Take your Bible, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So we should be led by the Spirit. Then Paul tells the church here at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, look what he says. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't go off of what we see because our eyesight can deceive us. So often people will look and say, well, I see this or I hear this, but you can't go off of that. You got to go off of what is the Holy Spirit telling you. And what does the Holy Spirit tell you through His Word to lead God and direct you? We walk by faith, not by sight. Take your Bible, keep going through here, look over Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse number 18 now. Galatians 5, verse 18. Actually, I'm going to jump up to verse number 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But, here it is again, as he said in Romans chapter 8, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you want to know one way that if you're walking in the flesh, if any of these things are evident, then you're probably walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Look, we're trying to figure out, okay, Lord, how am I led and how can I walk in the Spirit? Well, if these things are evident, that means you're walking in the flesh, probably. If there's envying in your heart, that's not walking in the Spirit. So right there, you know you're not on the right path as a believer. If there's envy in your heart, you're heading down the wrong road. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you're going down the wrong path. And so remember what we said is we don't cast lots no more. We don't look for signs. We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, what's one of the things to try to, like little bumpers on the side of a bowling alley? How do we know we're kind of staying in the middle? Well, if there's envying in our heart, then chances are we're walking down the wrong path and we're not being led by the Spirit. If there's murder in our heart, we're not walking down the right path. If there's strife, we're going down the wrong path. We're not being led by the Spirit, but we're being led by the flesh. Brethren, strife, contentions, drunkenness, envyings, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. If any of these things are in our heart and we're being led of those things, that's being led by the flesh and not by the Spirit. Now, this is how we figure out if we're being led and walk in the Spirit. Verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Here it is again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So here you have some clues of if you're doing the fruit of the Spirit, you're probably walking and being led by the Spirit. To where if you got love, you got joy, there's peace, you're having long suffering, there's a gentleness and a goodness and a faith and meekness and temperance. Okay, you're probably being led by the Spirit because that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to couple these verses here with James chapter 3. James chapter 3. You say, well, there's times in our lives, I know there's been times in my life, where you seek the Lord's will. If you're looking for a new job, if you're looking to move, any type of thing, you try to seek the Lord to find out, well, Lord, is this the way you want me to go? Is this what you want me to do? Look at James chapter 3, and let's look at verse number 17. James 3, verse 17. So you ask God for wisdom, you ask God for guidance, you ask God to make his will known in your life. We find here in James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We don't cast lots. We don't cast dice. We don't put out a fleece no more. We walk with the Spirit. We spend time in God's Word. And you live your life every day with the things you know you're supposed to do. And then as you do those things, the doors and God's will open up for you in your life. If it's causing you to get stressed and you're getting antsy or you're getting agitated, the Lord's probably not in it. So maybe you just need to step back for a moment and say, Lord, until you really make this thing plain and clear to me, dear God, and you give me a peace, then I'm just going to hang on. But a lot of times people try to do all kinds of things and move the chess pieces all around because they're really not looking for God's will in their life. They want to do their will in their life. And they'll make it look like God's in it. When in reality, God's nowhere to be found. They're moving all the pieces around. Just live your life. Do the things you know you need to do. And God will make it plain and clear to you. Take your Bible. I want to show you one more verse dealing with this issue of peace. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 13. We read about wisdom there in James chapter 3. And we know in 2 Corinthians that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. But also look at the wisdom here in Proverbs. And look what it says about the wisdom that you gain from Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. We know one thing, the Bible says, God's not the author of confusion. God will make it plain and clear. We just got to give him the time, and we have to usually be patient. And God will open up the door, and God will give a peace about it. Now, I've heard some brethren say this before, and it's foreign to me on this because I don't understand it. But I believe if you stay in your Bible and you're led by the Holy Spirit, there will be times where God will check you in your spirit. Now, I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm not talking about signs. But I'm talking about you're walking with the Lord, and there's times where God says, I said it Sunday, he'll give you a green light and say, yeah, go ahead, go on through this one. And then sometimes God will say, no, red light here, stop. Sometimes God will give you a peace about something, and sometimes God will give you no peace about it. And then sometimes people will ask you a reason, well, why don't you have a peace about it? And sometimes you're not even going to be able to explain it. I just don't have a peace about it. I don't know why. God has given me no peace about it. And then there's other times God's given a perfect peace to go forward with something. It's called walking with the Lord and being led by His Spirit. But that takes a walk with God. So often many people want things so straight-jacketed and organized and bop, 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 and everything's good to go. That's not how God works. We walk by faith. Sometimes you got to, look, faith is never something you don't know. Faith in the Bible is God's always, faith is this, God reveals something and then you by faith go forward with it. Faith is never stepping out blindly to where you don't even know what God's wanting you to do and you're just stepping out in faith. No, God always reveals His will and then it takes your faith to do it. God told Noah, I want you to build an ark. Now it took his faith to go forward and build that ark. And you find out all there in Hebrews chapter 11. God called Abram out of Ur of Chaldees and said, I want you to go. And he didn't know where he was going, but he knew God wanted him to go, and then he went out by faith. God always reveals it, and then it takes your faith to go forward with it. Okay? So, take your Bible now and look at, go back over to Esther chapter 3 again. Esther chapter 3, and look at verses 8 and 9 here. Esther chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Esther 3. Let's take a moment here and look at verse 8 and 9. So he casts lots. It comes out to the 12th month on the 13th of that day of that month. They're given a decree, or he's given it, going to give the decree to kill the Jewish people. Verse number 8 says, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. I do find out real interesting here that he doesn't mention what people group it is. He doesn't say the Jews. He just says, King, we got this people group out here. They're scattered abroad through the whole kingdom, and they got different laws than what we got, and they're not keeping your law, and it's not a profit for you, King, to keep them or to allow them to keep on living. Now, the word, look at the Bible there, verse number 8. It says, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. I looked up that word certain. He says there is a certain people, a distinct people group, King, out there in your kingdom. That word certain means particular. There's a certain group out there, King, that we got to deal with. It's a peculiar people. It's a special people, and they belong to someone or something that goes against you, King. They serve a God and they worship that God and they only show reverence to that God and they're different from us, King, because they won't bow down and show us reverence. They're a peculiar people. They're a special people. One thing we got to realize from the Bible is that the Jewish people are a peculiar people to the Lord. That word peculiar means they're a special people. They're a particular people that God chose in His Word. Take your Bible, look over at Exodus 19, verse 5. I'm saying that this evening to say that we're going to get and look at it here in a moment, how believers are a peculiar people as well from the Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're special to Him, just like the Jewish people are special to the Father. Look at Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 5. Exodus 19 and look at verse number 5. The Jewish people are a peculiar people to the Lord. Exodus 19 verse 5. Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Moses tells them there, listen, you are a peculiar treasure to the Lord, to God Almighty. Flip over to Deuteronomy, verse number 14. I'm going to get something here in a second with this. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 2. Here it's said again about the children of Israel being a peculiar people unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 14 and verse number 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. God chose them, and they were to be a holy people unto the Lord their God, and they were a peculiar people, a special people unto the Lord himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. Brethren, I've often wondered about it as I read my Bible, especially when you get into Exodus and forward. It's like from Exodus all the way through to Malachi, and that you don't see really much God dealing with Gentile nations. It all revolves around one group of people, and one group of people only. For the vast majority of time that man has been on this earth, God has chosen one group of people up to where Christ came in, and then that's a whole different situation where the bride comes in and what, where we're at now. But up to that point, all the focus was on one little piece of land over there in the Middle East with one group of people, the Jewish people. And they were peculiar. They were special. There was none. The Lord says here in Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, there was no other people group in all the world like the Jewish people. That's one of the ways that I know this Bible is true and that the God we're serving is true. Because there is no people group like the Jewish people. None. None. There's nobody that can explain the Jews and the miracles that God has done for the Jewish people, even bringing them back into a nation back in 1948. It was miracles. Miracles. The Six-Day War. Miracle. Because those are God's chosen people. They're certain, a certain people. And Haman made a distinction to the king about it, saying, King, this is a peculiar people. This is a particular people, and they're different than us. They're diverse from us. You know, brethren, as believers now today, you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into his own received him not. He came to the Jews, and they rejected him. The whole nation as a whole, God rejected them, and right now, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ has put the emphasis on his bride. It's not, God's not dealing with the Jewish people as a corporate nation right now. Now, individual Jews can still get saved, but as far as the nation goes, they got some dark days coming up ahead of them because they rejected their Messiah. They rejected a Messiah, and the Godfather and the Son has turned their eyes now to basically the Gentiles right now. Jews, some Jews are still getting saved, but basically for the last 2,000 years, it's been Gentiles that God's been dealing with through his church. But it's going to switch back here soon, back over to the Jews. But brethren, just as the Jewish people were a peculiar people, a special people unto the Lord, so should we be as Christians and realize that we're special to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at Titus, book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Brethren, just as the Jewish people were different, Christians ought to be different as well. Christians, believers, ought to be different. We ought to live our lives differently. We ought to act different than the world. We ought to dress different than the world. We ought to carry ourselves different than the world carries itself. Take your Bible, look at Titus chapter 2, and look at verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Just as the Jews were a special, peculiar, distinct, different people group that God chose, so are we as Christians, to where God tells us, the Lord tells us here in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, that teaching us that we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And as we do this, brethren, as we strive, if you strive to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world's going to think you're crazy. They're going to say the same thing that Haman said to King Ahasuerus. Listen, they don't follow the gods that we follow. They don't do the laws that we say that we should do. They're rebels against society and humanity. They're different than us. The world ought to look at Christians and say they're different than us. And the world, for the most part, don't like it. They don't like it. You know what else is going to make us look crazy to the world? Verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That will make you look crazy. Think about this a moment, brethren. When you say you got saved, who did you trust to get saved? Jesus Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? He was a Jewish man that lived 2,000 years ago, supposedly. Supposedly. The world looked at it, supposedly. Somebody didn't even exist. And then we're going to say that this Jewish man, we're going to say he was born of a virgin. He didn't even have a daddy. All of a sudden, this woman, this young lady's there, and all of a sudden, boop, she's pregnant. Think of how crazy that sounds. Brethren, if it's not true, it's crazy. That's a fairy tale, that a girl gets pregnant without knowing a man, and then the child that's in her womb is both God and man. Sounds like a fairy tale. Oh, and by the way, that this baby that she has, and she didn't know no man, the Holy Ghost came upon her, and now she brings forth this child. And this man supposedly lives a sinless life and never does anything wrong. Never, not one time. And then on top of that, he's going to die for everybody. He's going to shed his blood, and by him shedding his blood, he's going to take away all sins. And the world's going to say, we don't even believe in sin. There's no such thing as sin. And then this man, they put him in a grave. And supposedly 3 days later, he got up out of the grave. He was seen of 500 people. And then after a little while after that, some of his disciples, they saw him go up in a cloud up into the skies. And now here we are 2,000 years later saying that that man that they saw back then, he's coming back at some point through those clouds. Now see, to us that have been in church and know and been around our Bibles, to like your preacher, yeah, that's what we believe. No, think about it from the world's perspective. That's crazy thinking. We're gathering tonight on a bad weather day to talk about a man that we're saying is going to come back through the clouds at some point. That's crazy thinking if it's not true. But it is true. And the world, though, is not going to understand it. It's going to get to the point to where they're going to say, we need help. We need mental help. Brethren, I got back at home. I got what it's called a DSM manual. And it's where counselors and psychiatrists and all that, they diagnose what people have. Brethren, there's stuff in there right now that could diagnose us as being crazy in need of a mental hospital. I'm telling you, there's stuff in there that we would fall underneath right now. To where they would say, we're crazy, you need to see a psychologist and a psychiatrist and maybe even put it in a mental hospital. We're saying that some man's going to come through the clouds and take us home with him up to the clouds. Brother Haman went to King Ahasuerus and said, listen, there's a people out there, they got diverse laws, they're different, and they don't follow our customs, they don't follow our ways, and they got a different God, and King, you ought not to suffer them to live. And brethren, we got to expect it as believers. Verse number 14 here in Titus chapter 2, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Look what the Bible says here. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people, a special people, a distinct people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow Jesus Christ to purify you and make you, and for you to realize that you're special, you're peculiar to him, and be zealous of good works. And when you do these things, the world is not going to understand it. Take your Bible and look over at John chapter 16 and verse number 1. John 16, verse number 1. John 16 and look verse number 1. John 16, verse number 1. Look what the Lord tells his disciples. These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, I believe that's got a tribulational flavor to it there. But we also know that it did happen to those believers back then, to where there was great persecution and they killed a lot of the believers back then. But look what Jesus is telling them, that they're going to think they're doing God a service by killing them. They're going to think that, and it's not a little G-O-D, that's big G-O-D. That's the God, the true God. They're going to think they're doing the true God a service by putting Jesus Christ's disciples to death. And Haman thinks he's doing the right thing because he thinks these people are a trouble to this kingdom and to King Ahasuerus. Now, I think he's got ulterior motives as well. But he's saying to this king, King, these people are trouble and you ought not to let them live. Take your Bible and flip over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse number 1 here. I'm sorry. Yeah, Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. You know what I love about these verses here? Brethren, if persecution and trials and tribulations really get poured out upon a church, you're going to realize who the true brethren are, because you know what they're going to do wherever they're going to go? They're going to keep preaching. Because look what the Bible says there. It says there in verse number 4, preaching the word. Then verse number 5, preached Christ. Verse number 12, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning. Then you jump down to verse number 25, preached the word, preached the gospel. Verse 35, preached unto him Jesus. They went out there and just kept on preaching Jesus Christ. You know what, brethren? I don't have it in this Bible here. But one of the first Bibles I got after I got saved, I used to get the things from Voice of the Martyrs until they went crazy with some of the stuff that they were doing. But anyways, they had a picture in there of a pastor over in India. And a militia group came through there. I don't know if they're Muslim or what. They came in there and they told everybody that if they didn't deny Christ, that they were going to get shot and killed. And the pastor says, with his daughter sitting right there, says, I cannot deny my Savior. Boom, they shot him and killed him. And somebody took a picture of it, and they showed that preacher laying there on the ground. He had just been shot, and he had his Bible in his hand laying there. But underneath that it said, and it was said before by the martyrs, that our blood is seed. It seemed like